I'd like to start out by saying, in the dining room of the home, there hangs a plaque which says, or reads, God has given you a gift of 86,400 seconds. Have you taken one to thank him? Now you can do the math. I did the math, and it's accurate. There are that many seconds in a day. So this morning, I want to thank him for all the things that he has done for me. And in this book, which happens to be my mother's Bible, which I'm very grateful, after they passed away, there was 11 piles of books that were taken out of the library, and each child received their pile of books. And on that, thank the Lord, came my mother's Bible. So I'm very grateful for that. But in this Bible, there are many promises that God has given to us. And one that means a lot to me is, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, then the Lord will take thee up. Little did I know what that would mean. There was a family out there in the hills of Berks County on a little farm that were praying for a boy named David. And this is where the mystery comes in. I'm not sure just how this Christian attorney who ran a home for unwed mothers out of New York City found out about us, maybe because of the family was singing from church to church for years, you know, and maybe he found out about these country hayseeds out there in the hills of Berks that were praying for a boy named David. And my mother received a very brief letter from this Christian attorney, James Bennett, which read, if you want a boy named David, come to New York City and get him. That was the word. That was it. So those two country hayseeds got in the old 49 Ford station wagon and made their way to New York City through the Holland Tunnel, and then they were to wait on somebody that knew New York City better than they did. And he found this couple that they gave themselves a description of what they looked like. And of course, my dad, he looked like he had a face that looked like he was chiseled out of Mount Rushmore. He just had that kind of a manny face, bald, you know, and wire-rimmed glasses, piercing blue eyes, you know, and big, stocky, strong man. And my mother looked like a typical farmer's wife with a bun up on top of her head, you know. And those were the dear people that opened their hearts and their home to this little boy named David. And so they went to New York City and made their way to this place, I think it was in Queens, where this Christian attorney ran this home for these unwed mothers. And if I ever met my biological mother, I would thank her for that noble decision that she made to give me up and not try to raise me in New York City as a single parent. That was a wonderful decision and a very noble decision on her part. She wanted me to be raised, you know, in a better environment than New York City. Thank you, Lord. But what she did give me was a Bible. And in it, in perfect penmanship, she wrote, may this be your guide through life. And I have this Bible here today. And so I have both Bibles, one from my biological mother and one from my adopted mother. So I'm very grateful for that. And the promises that are in this book that apply to me. But little did I know that when I went out to this little country farm, you know, out there, that it would involve lots of picking beans and peas and pulling weeds, you know, and making hay and milking cows and feeding chickens and gathering eggs. I had no idea what I signed up for. And above all of that, we learned to sing. We learned to, well, make a joyful noise. We learned to make a joyful noise, and over the years, I thank God for all the hundreds of thousands of miles we put. First off, in that old 49 Ford station wagon, we run the wheels off of that, singing every Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, somewhere in some church all over Pennsylvania. We were on the road singing our little hearts out. And I remember, you know, it's hard to get that many kids in a 9-passenger wagon, but we managed. And I remember sitting on an accordion case, teetering it up back and forth on some of those old roads that we traveled back to some of those old country churches. I think they were all paved by Governor Pitchall. If you remember what they looked, you know, like the old Pitchall roads, you know, you go around a turn, you know, and you had to hang on for dear life, you know, and I remember teetering back and forth on that old accordion case, hanging on to my sisters or whoever, you know, as we made our way to those old country churches. And then finally, we got to the point where we outgrew the old Ford station wagon, and then the family was praying for a bus. And my dad came home from work one day, and he said, well, he said, our prayers have been answered. And Mom said, did we get a bus? Did we get a bus? He said, well, you better come and look. So we went up to old Boyer's garage, and there sat this Black Mariah. Mom called it a Black Mariah. It was a hearse. And for years, now you could get 12 kids in a hearse, because you can put bus seats, and he put 4 bus seats in this old hearse. And we traveled, and you can imagine the ridicule I got when I went to school, you know, traveling in our hearse, and we got a lot of riffraff over, but we wore out hearse after hearse, traveling and singing, and with all the program props, because we did a lot of dramatization, took a lot of program props, and we had them in Pop built a box to put on top of the hearse, and we loaded all of our things in there. So you can only imagine it was a sight when we pulled up to a church, you know, and all these kids compiling out of this hearse and getting everything out. So it was, I thank God for all of those hundreds of thousands of miles and all the singing and all the songs we had, and the parts that we had to memorize, and I thank God for all of those. I thank God for all the scripture that Mother made us. It was mandatory. When we got out of school in the summer, you had a project. You had to memorize all the books of the Bible, and you had to be able to recite them all before, you know, went back to school. And then we had to learn the Beatitudes. We had to learn the Ten Commandments. We had all of these things. Mom had the idea, I don't know where that came from, but that the idle minds is the devil's workshop. And so are the idle hands. And I'll tell you, we never told Mom we were bored, because Mom always had a list of things to do as long as her arm. You know, so if we run out of things that she had on her list, we never said we didn't find something on our own to do. But I thank God for all of those verses in the scripture that you hide thy word in thine heart that thou might not sin against thee. I thank God for all of those times. I thank God for some of the old churches, the old tent meetings we sang at. And I remember one, you know, in particular, old Buddy Flosser, down there at Lancaster, had a tent meeting, and he preached hellfire so hot that, you know, you felt like your seat was burning, you know. And I came to know the Lord when I was 7 years old. Not just because of that I was trying to use the Lord as a fire escape. I just knew that it was time, and my choice was, you know, I wanted to go with God. I wanted to work with and be a child of God. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for all the times that He has come through that old farmhouse door, you know, which the latch didn't work half the time, but it was one of those old box latches. But God knew how to operate that latch. There were times, you know, when we were sick, and there was times that I remember one sister had a cancerous bone tumor in her arm, and my parents went to pray. They were the most praying people. And went to praying, you know. They spent the night on their knees in prayer. And they took my sister to the doctor the next day to get an observation to see whether or not that it was what they had thought. And sure enough, the doctor looked it over and checked her all out, and he said, "What seemed to be a cancerous bone tumor is now gone." Praise the Lord for that. I learned the importance of prayer. Not only for big things, for the major things, but minor things. I remember my sister praying. She said, you know, "I'd like to have a turkey for Thanksgiving or for Christmas this year." Well, we didn't have turkeys on the farm, you know, and buying turkeys was, you know, the budget was limited. So that year, my sister said, "Well, I'm going to pray for a turkey." That year, and that was the only year that my dad's boss gave turkeys for Christmas for all the employees. So just little things just taught me that God is interested in all of us, in all our little things is the major things. I remember that one time when my parents went to adopt one of the last of the adopted kids, because there was 12 of us adopted, and then there was a lot of foster kids. There was as many as 28 of us sat down to the meal three times a day. So, but anyway, the judge looked over the podium and looked at Harry, and he said, "Harry, has there ever been a time that the family sat down to a meal and there was nothing there?" My dad all looked with these piercing blue eyes in the judge's face and said, "Never. There has never been a time that we sat down to the table that there was nothing to eat. God has always provided." Mom's philosophy was, where the Lord puts babies, He puts bread. And He has taken care of. I remember my brother had an accident, a tractor accident. The old Ford tractor flipped on him and but crushed his along his chest and everything. And my dad ran back. He had the one tractor and the baler and the hay wagon all pulling that one. And he saw what happened and he jumped off the tractor and ran back. You know, and my mother was there, and different ones of us there, and we got to praying hard. And my dad reached back up to that tractor, and he picked that tractor off of my brother. And my mom pulled him out, and they rushed him down to the Reading Hospital. And he was in that hospital for weeks. But you know what? Somehow or another, the Lord answered prayer, and the bill was paid by the time they brought him home from the hospital. And somebody asked my dad, "How did you do that?" Well, the Lord sent money in here and sent it there, different churches that, you know, that we had sung at, given us offerings, and somehow or another, the Lord multiplied our pennies like He did the loaves and fishes. He paid, the bill was paid, and the Lord just took care of us so many ways that I just have to say thank you. Thank you, and this is a season I look back. I thank the Lord that He brought me to this little church, and I'm thankful for all of you and your lives and what they mean to me. And I like these little body of believers. I love the pastor and his wife and what they mean and his messages to me. And I just am so grateful for the way the Lord has led me from early on, from the time I left New York City till today, when I have the opportunity to say thank you. Take more than 1 second, I'm sure, to tell you how the Lord has blessed him. But anyway, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it.